Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're welcoming back Jan Shedd. Jan Shedd, she's an amazing top-notch psychotherapist who's been a guest with us before here on these microphones and these broadcasts. She's internationally known, as well as nationally, of course. She's She's a top-notch psychotherapist who is known nationally and internationally and an approved consultant and a trainer with the EMDR International Association. I don't know if you've heard about EMDR or not. It's an amazing process. It was developed by a psychologist named Francine Shapiro, and it stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. And it's a process that can treat anything ranging from mental health issues to addictions. And in an EMDR procedure, the therapist leads clients through specific eye movements and other movements that can, I mean, it can do things like release bad memories that you might have or negative thoughts or beliefs and emotions to be constructively recycled and eliminated altogether. And the results of how people have improved and eased their negative memories and accompanying symptoms are very well documented, and the hundreds of clients that Jan has helped is a testament to its amazing effectiveness. We're going to be talking about EMDR today and learning about how it can heal the brain from psychological wounds. You know that almost everyone has had a bad life experience at some point. Often they're unable to get over those experiences. And when it happens, you kind of feel stuck in the past. But with EMDR, you can rewire your brain, so to speak, so you can no longer carry around that pain in your body, and you can finally move on with your life. It's quite remarkable, and I'm delighted that Jan has agreed to come back and chat with us today. By the way, she's located in Pinedale, Wyoming. She's 7,000 feet in the altitude, very near Jackson Hole, Wyoming, not far from Yellowstone National Park. It's obviously a very gorgeous place to be, and it's going to be a nice day there today. Maybe the high will get up into the 80s this afternoon, to the low 80s, but it's a delight to have you back. Jan Shedd. Jan, welcome back to Close Up Radio. How are you? Nice to have you here.
No, thank you.
Do me a favor. You have four initials behind your name. I'm not quite sure what they mean, but LCSW, what's that stand for?
It is licensed clinical social worker.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
But it says a lot right there. Let's talk a little bit. I know, you know, we went over a good bit of this the last time, but there's so much to this subject. And, you know, there's so many people that really don't have a clue about how EMDR could be used to help them. Let me just ask, what got you into this to begin with? What attracted your interest in using this process in your, you know, in your practice?
Well, as a psychotherapist, I have always looked for pathways that I could use to help people go to the root causes of what was going on with their symptoms. And so when I heard about EMDR therapy, it was, Dr. Shapiro developed it in 1987. I probably heard about it I was in the middle of Kansas at that time and probably heard about it in the late 90s, maybe about 10 years after it was developed. And then I was trained in 2000. And it was that drive I have to eliminate suffering patterns, pain patterns in people that led me to check out EMDR. I had heard about it ahead of time, but at that time, I wanted to make sure it wasn't something that I would have called woo-woo at that time. But yeah. I wanted to make sure that there was research that that backed it up. And it, as it turns out, Dr. Shapiro was very keen on research, and that is what has propelled this therapy into a practice that just is so, I guess many studies have shown, it's a best practice now. So in order to be a best practice, you have to have a lot of research that uses randomized control studies to demonstrate its effectiveness. And so it's really blossomed since that time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the people who come to, I mean, I know you have a lot of modalities you use to help people in different situations, but primarily what brings people to you, I was going to say for the use of EMDR, maybe they don't even know you use that, but when someone comes to you with specific kinds of situations, that's when it lets you know this would be a good treatment to use. What kind of situations are those? What's the typical kind of patient you treat someone with when you're using EMDR? What are they going through?
Yeah, good question. I think people seek a therapist when the pain that they're experiencing is enough, strong enough, where they or someone that cares about them says, hey, you can go get some help for this. And so people go to therapy for all kinds of problems, like communication problems, performance problems, patterns that they want to get over, addictions. What can happen, though, as people find out that you do this kind of work, is that then you tend to get more of, people coming in to say, I did hear you that you do EMDR therapy and I want that. Although most of the time it's that they come for a particular problem that they want to get over, a pattern they want to change. And that's really the most common. And I would say that in addition, going to therapy doesn't have quite the stigma that it used to. It still has some. And yet, what I appreciate about EMDR therapy is because it works directly with the brain, kind of levels the playing field. Everybody, you said it earlier in the introduction that every person has adverse life experiences that they know they haven't completely gotten over. And yet they go on and they cope and they try to cope with that. And I think that's usually what brings people in.
It's been written, and you talk about it before, a lot of people who have been through situations that were somewhat terrifying for them or dangerous,
mm-hmm.
So that it causes them to have things like nightmares and flashbacks all the time. They have anxiety and depression and a lot of really lasting, devastating effects that are affecting them. Those people are particularly good subjects to use EMDR on. Isn't that right?
Yeah, yes, it definitely. That it is a trauma-relieving psychotherapy. And what we know about traumatic experiences, things that were very scary or life-threatening, such as accidents or, tornadoes or domestic violence, things like that, it's really important to recover from those events. And the brain often will get stuck in trying to do that. And so it creates a bit of a shock bubble in the brain, that the brain tries to process, but it's really difficult to, it's better to say that when the symptoms continue, in spite of your best efforts to get over it, that's where it's helpful to go get some outside person to help the brain and the body to release the trauma. And that's the therapy that we do. And really, I think in the world, what we've known is how to compartmentalize things and push them to the back of our mind, but then they keep getting what we call triggered again. Reminders come up that it's almost like as if the flashback would be like as if it were still present, the experience.
Wow.
And so what the good news is that we can alleviate all symptoms, all reminders, not your memory. You know, it doesn't affect your memory of the event, except that maybe some of the details won't be quite as sharp because you're over it.
Explain to me eye movement, and I know EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Yes.
How does eye movement, explain how you do it? How do you use it? It sounds amazing.
Yes, well, it is. And I think I'll start with the answer that Dr. Shapiro used to give. She would say, boy, if I knew it was going to end up to be that long of a name, I would have changed it to something easier, but it's already there and it's stuck. But it does describe the process that what we're doing is we're working with how the brain and the body has stored memory. And by the way, it's not stored logically. It's stored in memory networks. And the eye movement was actually spontaneously developed by Dr. Shapiro that as she was thinking about upsetting things, her eyes were rapidly moving. And so she wondered, what's going on? No, but noticing that she was feeling a little bit better about something that was upsetting to her. She's quite the researcher, though. So very observant. What it is actually is a movement that crosses the midline. So eye movements are shown in research to be the most effective movement, but we also have other movements now that are tactile or audio. And what happens with the audio, for example, is it's a binaural beat. And many people know about binaural beats now where you have a sound in one ear and then it moves to the other ear and back and forth. And there's something about that movement that helps the brain work through things. We think maybe it's connected to like what happens in REM sleep. Like even while we're sleeping, our brain is actively working on things through dreams and our eyes are moving rapidly back and forth.
It's hard to understand exactly how it works. Explain a little bit. Give us an example when you're treating a patient, how you use this, what you actually do, to make it so effective. What happens?
Yes. Well, and everybody's excited about the movement. You know, it's like, what is this movement that facilitates this process of healing? It is a part of the therapy. It is not the whole therapy. When people come in, they might say have anxiety. And they say, well, you know, I had a panic attack and I thought I was having a heart attack, but my doctor said, no, it's anxiety. And so I came here for help with my anxiety. Well, underneath symptoms are events that have happened in a person's life that created the symptoms in the first place. So we do some history taking, we get to know our client. One of the things that's so wonderful about the work is that we're actively focusing on how their brain has stored the information, the meaning of it in their life, how they think about themselves, how they think about the world, how their life experiences have shaped their perceptions. And then we're going to work on those perceptions. So, for example, a person may be in some aspect of their life thinking, I'm stupid, even though they have a PhD. And those beliefs are emotionally based beliefs that are not really formed in logic, but they're formed out of, say, a metacognition of their life experience. And when it's triggered, even though it may be untrue, it feels true. And then how they want to be thinking about themselves feels like it's far off. Like, well, I know I'm smart, but why do I feel so dumb sometimes?
Yeah.
And so that's just a common phenomena that goes on in people's lives where they'll say, oh, you know, I'm an engineer and I'm really good at my job, but I suck at relationships, you know, and why is that? You know, so we really do have a system in our, I guess, in our mind and our body that helps us to work through things. But yet when it gets stuck, that's where, so when we think one way and feel another, that's a sign of the lack of resolution of a past event or many past events that have developed into a memory network that limits us. And so we want to work with the way the brain and the body have stored that material to resolve it so they can put the disturbance behind them and go forward with a more functional, positive belief about themselves.
Right.
But yet, yes, but there's another tricky thing here, and that is that if a person is believing in another realm of their life, hey, right, I really am strong, I really am positive, it's not going to hold when the, if you will, negative material that's unresolved is kicked up, because it's not stored in logical ways in the brain. It's stored in pathways that contain, like, parts of the event and the words that someone heard of, that, you know, even though they were untrue, like, you're so stupid. It kind of gets lodged in the brain as true, even though they may also have another aspect of themselves that knows it's not true. So really, we're taking a divided mind, and we're unifying maybe a description of resolution would be of unified mind. I know,
okay,
and I feel that I'm okay as I am, that it's not my fault. Does that answer the question?
It does help, yeah. I was going to ask you, how many sessions or treatments does one typically go through before they, you know, they begin to find the relief that they're seeking? How would you answer that?
I would say it's as short as one, and it can be many.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
It all depends on the person and how they react to it, I guess. But just one session could relieve a lot of pain and anxiety they have.
Yeah, and I do have a statement from someone that had one session with me, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, no, tell me. I was going to ask you about success stories, people you've worked with. You know. Go ahead.
Well, I have a couple of them that I think are very poignant, but this one addresses the one session. And this is a woman, and she says, EMDR is an amazingly effective treatment for trauma, although it's best if you have a great therapist who knows what she's doing, so she's giving me a little praise there. But she says, I had my first EMDR treatment in 2012 and had a few sessions, no, it was two sessions, and she reduced the disturbance related to a very scary tornado experience by about 70% in those two sessions. So fast forward to 2021, where she came to see me, and what brought her in was that she was at a shooting range with a friend, and what happened was that she became very dysregulated, disturbed, tearful, and she was reminded of an incident where she was held at gunpoint by an ex-husband, and all of the memories just came flooding back. So she came to see me, and she said during that one session, so she had one session, she cleared not only the issues with being around a gun, but also many unresolved issues that I'd packed away around and carried around from my childhood. And she had me pluck one out at a time until I felt free. And to my surprise, the wholeness that I have had since that day in October is amazing. I will forever remember the fact that EMDR with a great therapist can change and alter your life forever. So the symptoms never came back, and now she is able to go to the gun range or go hunting and use a gun without reminders of that terrible event.
Wow. And that's just one session. That's pretty good.
That was one session. Yep. And actually, I do have the luxury of being, I feel like it's a luxury. I can work as long as I need to with a person. I don't define it by, you know, time limits, but this was 1 hour.
1 hour.
I did keep track of it 1 hour. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is pretty amazing. You know, I want to point out Jen has a great website. Jen teaches this process, and you can do it virtually as well, can't you?
Yes. I teach virtually sometimes, but you can do this therapy virtually, yes.
It's pretty amazing. The website I want to give out it's pretty simple, emdpractice.com. You can remember
EMDR.
That, emdrpractice.com, emdrpractice.com. I know you were doing some sessions that you started in June and that continue in August teaching people, and you were doing this in Casper, I guess it was, at the University of Wyoming campus there. They were sold out, people wanting to come learn about all of this from you, right? I mean, that's pretty interesting that there are so many interested that you sold out the session.
Oh, I know.
Does that happen?
I know. It's heartwarming.
Yeah.
When I was trained in 2000, I lived in the middle of Kansas, actually, in a small town. I was the only person trained. And now when a person takes the training and they go back to their community, it's rare that a person says, no one else in this community is trained in EMDR. And so the field has actually grown so much in the 20 years plus that I've been using it. It's amazing.
Well, I know you're doing another session, but the next session you're scheduled for doesn't come up until November, so it'll be a while. But anyway,
right.
If anybody's interested in learning about this as well, the website, emdrpractice.com. So do you have any other success stories? I know you've been using this for a while. There have to be, I know you got more than the one. Tell me about some of the other sessions and people you've worked with who've really, found relief from the use of EMDR. And by the way, when you sit down and someone's looking at you and it's eye movement, what are you telling them? What happens during a session?
Well, when the brain is doing its work, I'm usually just, I like to describe it as like I'm in the sidecar. They're driving the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I'm in the sidecar. And so I'm really just a coach. And so when we're doing the actual work on an event that is upsetting to a person, or maybe several events at a time, it can be that way, then I'm really just inviting the person to notice whatever is present in their mind and their body. And then it is true that I have to do some coaching if the brain gets stuck. And so those I call interventions, but they are helping the brain to move along in the process that it needs to go through in order to heal. And so I will just coach a little bit to get the brain going again. But really, I'm mostly in the sidecar, and the brain does all its own work. And so I am really learning from the client what has bothered them, what they stored about their life experience and the meaning of it. And the more that I am focused on that, the person is willing, that's the meat, the substance of helping the process to work. And I do have a statement from someone that has had several EMDR sessions. And so it wasn't just the one session wonder.
Right.
Because this one, is it okay if I just say tell it to you now, because it does fit in
sure.
the question.
Tell me.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So,
go ahead.
So this is a person that has had a lifetime of trauma where father was alcoholic and had depression and anxiety, and mom the same. And so just a lifetime of struggles, and which, you know, is the existence for a lot of people in the world, where their parents aren't perfect and they've got a lot of problems. And so she says, it's hard to recognize the person I was before I started EMDR therapy. And life is, of course, an ongoing process of transformation and growth, and EMDR helped facilitate the changes that I've made. And what happened was what I had stored in me was beginning to shift and heal some very deep patterns of anxiety and attachment wounding. And the therapy allows you to know yourself if you're open to going there. I would describe the person I was before as anxious, lost, and all in my head. I remember a million different thoughts would fly through my head at a time all day long. And EMDR helped to uncover the roots of the thoughts, the emotions, and the behaviors of old coping patterns in my life, and helped me to replace them with new, more updated beliefs and more congruent and appropriate ways of coping with my life. And I'm much more successful really staying out of my own way and my own success with EMDR therapy. So this is a person that has really worked on letting go of things that she's been carrying around since she was a very small child.
It changed her life then, didn't it? I mean, it had a major impact on her life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very gratifying to hear. And was that a fairly quick process for her, or is this one of those subjects you had to work with her, you know, over a period of time? Could be weeks or months, I presume.
Right. I would say that this person right now will have a session maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
And when she began, she would have sessions, I would say, maybe every 1 or 2 weeks. And I've worked with her, I would say, off and on for maybe 3 years.
Wow. And by the way, is this something that they do by themselves, or does it really require the presence of someone like you, a psychotherapist, to help them?
We have a joke in the community where even EMDR therapists go to EMDR therapists for therapy, because when you're the client, you want to just be in your own space, noticing the things that are going on inside of you.
Right.
And so you don't want to have to think about it while you're doing the work. And that's where the therapist comes in, because we're more of a guide in the process.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I just want to point out, listen, again, I want to get the website out here again. It's emdrpractice.com. Jan, again, she's located in near Cheyenne, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, in that area, Pinedale specifically. But go to that website if you're interested in getting treatment or learning how to practice it, because Jan teaches both. Jan, thank you for your time. It's been delightful having you with us today. Okay?
You're welcome.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for today, everybody. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time here on Close Up Talk Radio. Take care now. Bye for now.